The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and we have two good guests this morning. I should say great guests. I had to help them in this morning. I think they had too much turkey on Thanksgiving, but that's okay because I did too. I'd like to welcome Charlie Samuels and Aaron Massel. Good morning, people.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How was your holiday?
It was great.
Yeah. It's always nice just to spend time with family and have a down day. And I hope everybody had a great day. And now you can officially put up your Christmas decorations. I think Thanksgiving is a lost holiday. We spend more time on Halloween and Christmas and Easter than we do on Thanksgiving. And that's a shame because we really should be thankful for a lot in this country, especially family and friends, and that's very important. So anyway, I would like to talk to you guys about your activism in the community. I'm going to start with Charlie because you're a longtime activist, and, you know, I put it, sometimes people think the term activist is, I think it's a misconception that you're always uprising and trying to overthrow, which we could have used it this past election to overthrow, but it didn't work out that way. Why don't you give us a little background, Charlie?
All right. Well, I've been a proponent of alternative transportation basically all my life. Most people in the city know me as a skateboarder. Because I was the, you know, spokesperson for the skateboard park when it was closed for a year and a half.
And this was back, what, in the 90s?
2012,
okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, here I'm talking about Saratoga
Springs
Skate Park.
Because I remember that and was over on the east side?
Correct.
Right.
Yep. And now the skate park is flourishing. Mm-hmm. The bowl is back open and we just got a grant, you know, $200,000 from the city to make the skate park all cement, which is quieter for neighbors and much better for skateboarders like us.
See, the thing you have to worry about in Saratoga is it quieter for the horses? People don't matter. Horses matter in Saratoga.
Yeah, it's true. I wish we had more of them.
You can't even mow your lawn on Fifth Avenue until after 11 in the morning when the track is here, you know. Well, I remember that. They had the city had filled it in with dirt, I think.
That's correct.
The skate park, for a year and a half. And through your efforts and the efforts of many other people. I mean, you led the way, but
almost 4,000 skateboarders
were
leading the charge.
They, you know, they forced the city into reopening that. And, before that, I don't really think locally skateboarding was a huge sport that it is today. And I think, just as with anything else, as we're going to talk about later in the show, people have to be made aware of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we settle into our routine days, lives, without, when something goes on like that, people just don't invest the time into understanding why or what it's about.
Yeah.
You feel that way? Did you run into resistance? I mean, or was it just the fact of opening, getting it open?
No, we ran into resistance. People, I mean, first of all, I don't think the city really recognized what an important resource and exercise facility that is and how many people use it. It's actually the most popular exercise area in Eastside Rec besides the children's play area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just constantly 5 to 10 skateboarders there now, And that provides vitality for the city and the East Side Recreation Field.
Mm-hmm.
There's always somebody to help.
You know? Well, I think it's going to expand a little bit more next year because I think it's been made an official event in the Olympics.
True.
So I'm sure after the Olympics, it's going to be a craze with the kids because I saw a thing on TV. I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or Entertainment Tonight. They're both good shows. But there's a 13-year-old skateboarder who's like number two in the country. Mm-hmm. And she's, I think it was a girl, unbelievable. And so I think you're going to get more young people now involved in the sport because it takes a venue like that to get things going.
Absolutely.
It's just like ski boarding in the Olympics. Who would have ever thought that you would have a ski board that would be an Olympic game? You know, but yeah. It got so popular that it's created its own following.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the mainstream has not really seen women ripping, even though they've been ripping for 50 years in skateboarding. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be wonderful, you know,
yeah.
In the Olympics.
You know? Yeah. I think it takes a national stage. And unfortunately, sometimes it's a bad national stage. But I think that's what creates interest in things is seeing it on a national stage or worldwide stage.
Sure.
There's been so many events in the past, maybe 40 or 50 years that have been added into the Olympics that, who would have ever thought beach volleyball would be an Olympic sport? Mm-hmm. And I love watching beach volleyball. And, I just think it's great that different sports are listening a little bit more participation.
And
so
skateboarding is alternative, sustainable transportation, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Right. Yeah. And you have to wear knee pads, and you have to wear a helmet. I mean, you don't want to have an accident and, and not be protected. But I think that's good. It's good to teach safety issues like that.
Absolutely.
When doing things, if you know kids are going to start becoming involved.
Safety first.
Safety first. It's just like with bicycles, which we're going to get into. Charlie, you were a former... before we get into the bike thing, I want to talk to you a little bit about your career or your careers. You're a photographer.
Yep.
As we said, a skateboarder and a filmmaker.
Right.
Talk a little bit about that. I think that's
well, this has something to do with what we're talking about, you know, in alternative transportation also. I started out as an extreme sports photographer back when they called it extreme sports. And so I photographed skateboarding, inline skating, and bike riding, and, you know, all these alternative sports. And that's how I got known. And then photo editors figured, well, if he can shoot this stuff, which is really hard to shoot, I guess he can shoot portraits and photo essays and photojournalism. So that's how I got started. And it blossomed into a career. And then on the side, I was making a movie, that was about my skateboard team. And that just came out and won 6 out of 8 eligible awards on the International Film Festival circuit. I got to go to Portugal and Paris, and it was a wonderful run. And now it's going to be, distributed widely online. So... is very satisfying, and it relates to this activism here, transportation, and my photography career. So yeah,
that's interesting. I'd like to have Erin talk a little bit about herself. If you could give us a little background about yourself, and you were doing it before the show, and it was so interesting that I really would like the listeners to share this.
Sure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem.
So I have been working in transportation for over 12 years, and I started my career with state DOT working on Long Island, and I really got started when we started looking at these, like, you know, massive highways, 6 to 10, you know, lane highways, and how can we actually start to shift transportation so it accommodates all users, bicyclists, walkers, ADA, public transportation. And so from there, I worked with the City of New York and the Urban Design Group, and then have shifted gears and come back upstate where I'm from. And I've been here for a couple years now, and I work for CLA Site. It's a private landscape architecture firm.
Excellent. I was in the landscaping business for about 20 years back mm-hmm. in my youth. I had a small garden center, and I think working outdoors is one of the neatest things that you can do. As long as you're protected from the sun. I took back in the day when I did it, you know, we didn't use sunscreen or anything, and I'm paying for it now. Mm-hmm. So as with anything else, sports, or you take the right precautions, and you can have a lot of fun. But boy, was that fulfilling, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like... I think my interest in, ultimately, like, I am an environmentalist. I, you know, want to protect the resources we have on this earth. And I saw the benefit of working in urban environments within cities to actually build more sustainable cities so that we could protect the incredible resources we have, mm-hmm. such as the Adirondack Park or a small neighborhood park. And we can do that through, you know, building more livable cities.
Okay. How was your time in New York? Did you find that very challenging, more so than up here?
Definitely. I mean, New York is a very complex place. It's, you know, the bureaucratic layers of trying to do projects, and then just the communities. And, you know, it's such a diverse place. So I loved working in New York. I worked mostly in the Rockaways post Hurricane Sandy, rebuilding neighborhoods out of the flood zones, and how we can incorporate really a holistic approach to planning. Instead of looking at, your DOT or your DPW, I'm going to rebuild this one block, and it's going to be, you know, at a certain sea level, right? And then the housing authority is going to build another, you know, and everybody working in their own silo, we started to reconstruct neighborhoods holistically all together. And it was an incredible experience bringing the community together. I truly believe that the community has to be in the process mm-hmm. every step of the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when you said I have to put a plug in for charter change, you said when people work in their own silos, it makes it difficult to get things done rather than working together. I think it's even easier dealing, working with citizens if everybody works together. And I mean, that's basically what made our city good, was we had an awful lot of citizens that in the early days that, you know, wanted to change Saratoga and got together and started doing projects along with the city's help. You know, that's what it takes, is people working together. And I think you get, as we talked a little bit before, education is an important part of anything that you want to change. Mm-hmm. Because people get set in their ways, and most of the time they don't understand what the changes are. They just like to complain. So what I'd like you two to do right now is to explain to me, and you'll be explaining it to the listeners, what the Complete Streets program is in Saratoga Springs. Because I think people have an idea. When I was asking people, do you know what the Complete Streets project is in Saratoga Springs? Yeah, that's when they're trying to pave the roads so that they're all, you know, in good shape. I said, well, no. Complete Streets, mm-hmm. as it applies to things that are going on in the city. So why don't you explain Complete Streets first?
Right. Well, Complete Streets was adopted in 2012 by our city, and it's a low-cost transit plan that improves communities by providing a safe and accessible street network for all modes of transportation. This includes not just vehicles and, you know, public transportation and bicycles, but, you know, wheelchair users, people mm-hmm. pushing, you know, baby carriages, skateboarders, electric scooters. Those kind of things are called personal transportation. And they can do an amazing job at alleviating the problems of growing cities like ours. We should mm-hmm. be so lucky to have Saratoga Springs growing. But with growth comes, you know, traffic congestion and parking issues. And Complete Streets is a low-cost way to alleviate these problems. And that's really what it is. Can you?
Yeah, I think Complete Streets is a way to, you know, kind of what I was mentioning before. It's, you know, the policy, the larger policy, you know, federal government started looking at this. They started putting funding into states and cities to really build out the accessibility portion. I think it really kind of started with that, mm-hmm. Making sure that there were curb ramps on every corner mm-hmm. Through the, you know, American Disabilities Act. So,
right.
And I think it just grew from there, you know, because ultimately public land is a great percentage of every city, right? And I think sometimes we just look at it as, no, that's where cars are. You know, that's their space.
That's their domain.
You know, yeah. Even though it used to be horses with carriages and people walking. You look at old photographs of Saratoga.
Yeah.
Right? People are everywhere in the street. And mm-hmm. this was a really, you know, it was the common grounds, right? And so I think it's kind of looking at, you know, public right-of-way or, you know, just the public realm in general as, you know, we need to do more with this than just allocate space for cars and do it for safety reasons that, you know, pedestrians, unfortunately, are being killed too often or bicyclists in the public right-of-way. So
that's, I remember when they did the ramps, the mm-hmm. curb ramps on the corners, and that was made a huge difference because people, handicapped people, even using crutches and especially wheelchairs, as you said, or scooters, had no way to get off that curb unless they wanted to take a chance and ride the rocky road. But this, it really helped. And I think it also brought awareness to public buildings. Mm-hmm. That you had to have handicapped accessible entryways. The only thing I was disappointed about was that they grandfathered buildings in so that you didn't have to put the handicapped accessible doors that in, you know, which I always thought was pretty unfair. I guess it would have been a cost to the owner of the building, but still, I mean, you know, we have to do things to make it right for everybody.
Yeah, it's tough enough just to get people to pay attention to the ADA laws for wheelchairs as they improve their buildings. I mean, that's also an aspect of Complete Streets mm-hmm. is basically when we make improvements in our city or we make new things, we should take into account Complete Streets principles.
Oh, yeah. No, I see when I go to get gas, I see there's buttons there if a motorist needs help, mm-hmm. and they'll come out and pump gas. Mm-hmm. And they don't do that as a general rule like they did when I was first started driving. I mean, you got your gas pumped for you, your windshield clean, your oil checked, and they gave you a coupon for a glass or a towel. And gas was 3 gallons for a dollar. Mm-hmm. So today's a little bit different. But I mean, yeah, we need to make awareness the same way with Complete Streets. Education. You have to let people know what's right, the way things are going to be laid out, and how to do it. And
that's why we're here.
And that's why you're here. One of the big topics, I think, of Complete Streets, I mean, the section that at the Complete Streets devoted an awful lot to was the bicycle, bicycle lanes and in cities. And why don't you explain a little bit about that? Because I was telling you, Aaron, about one of the problems that I have is that out in the country, I think it's a little more prevalent out in the country where you have more of a problem, and that's road rage with drivers and maybe a little bit of rage with bicycles because, and you were explaining to me about expansion. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, so one thing that we've been doing, the Complete Streets Board, has been partnering with Saratoga County, right, so that we can look outside of just the city municipal boundaries at how can we actually safely allow for routes in and out of the city into the more rural areas. A lot of bicyclists, you know, go around Saratoga Lake, for example, right? And one thing we find is that there just isn't a shoulder or there isn't space outside of the travel lane for bicycles to ride. And so they need to ride within the travel lane, which is dangerous for everyone. So one thing is looking at when we do repave roads or there's funding coming in to the county or to the city, how can we build better connections and make sure there's, you know, a wide enough shoulder that can accommodate a bicyclist safely, you know. Obviously, you want maybe a little bit more of a buffer there, but in rural areas, I think a wide shoulder can be, you know, life-saving for bicyclists.
I think so, because just as we were talking earlier about protected bike lanes, I think, as you just said, outside cities, I think a wider shoulder would really, really benefit both parties, I think. Of course, We're going to have the problem, as we talked before, you're going to have motorists that you could have a half a mile wide bicycle lane, and motorists are still going to find a way to get in there and complain about bicycles. But, you know, other countries do have an active bike transportation and a transportation system. How can we incorporate some of that over here? I mean, I think we've incorporated a little bit of keeping more cars off the streets with trying to rebuild our transportation system the way the CDTA buses and the trolleys that run in Saratoga in the summertime, but how can we incorporate some of what goes on in Europe and the Scandinavian countries as far as that?
The easiest way I can think of right now is there are many streets that are wide enough to just lay down striping for bicyclists, which separates the bikes from the cars. I mean, Union Avenue is one that I take just for exercise, and it has huge shoulders. But they're not marked, you know, necessarily for bicycles.
Right.
And it would just help visually, safety-wise, to have those marked. And that's a low-cost way of doing that. I mean,
yeah, it's probably the lowest cost, I mean, effective way to do it.
Even East Avenue is way too wide for two cars, for just the cars going back and forth. It's a single-lane road. And I wouldn't say too wide. Maybe that's not the right word.
Right.
But just it's wide enough.
Well, I think the street that is too wide that takes bicycles in with no problem is North Broadway, right here in front of Skidmore.
I'm glad they did that.
You've got two good-sized bike lanes, one on each side of the street, and you still have room for, two cars on each in each car lane. I mean, it's a wide street. So you don't have a problem there. I mean, if anybody has a problem on North Broadway, then you got to see a doctor because because really, I mean, you can't get any wider of a street.
I know.
I think one of the ways, a good way to, now this is only my opinion, believe me, and I don't have very many good ones, but, you know, on these small streets like Franklin, where they allow both side parking on both sides, you can't even get two cars down that street. I know, as I told you before, I drive a small school bus, and trying to get down that street, forget it. You know, it's hard to get two cars by. You're looking, you're going 2 miles an hour, just making sure your mirrors don't touch. But do you think that one side street parking would be a little more beneficial on these narrow streets for bicycles?
I think those are not the low-hanging fruit. The low-hanging fruit is what I mentioned, East Avenue, Union Avenue, things like that. And, you know, those streets, you just said, you go 3 miles an hour. So that's already safe. That means a bicycle can go the speed of the vehicles.
Yeah, but let me tell you, sometimes, Charlie, with a car, you can't squeeze a bicycle in going down that street.
No, but you can ride in the street.
Yeah.
I think one thing is, like, looking at, you know, you need to look at all the streets that you have within the mm-hmm. urban environment, right? And, you know, that street has its own issues to begin with. I think, you know, looking, oh, we can only have parking on one side. I think you want to look at it as a network, right? When we build, looking at like a European version or even, you know, throughout many cities in the U.S. right now, is that you want people to look at walking and biking as their form of transportation, right? So that they're not choosing their car, right? We just want to build choices, essentially. And I think one thing is, you know, how can we connect things throughout the city to the destinations? One way we're doing that here in Saratoga is through the Greenbelt Trail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw the Henry Street pilot was a way for us to test out some ideas. I'm a big proponent of testing, piloting ideas while we develop the final plan before you're actually putting in new curb and laying new concrete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to give residents and adjacent businesses a chance to respond and for engineers and designers like myself to say, oh, maybe that wasn't the best idea, you know, this corner here, or maybe we can do it a little bit better, you know, on this block. And so the Greenbelt Trail, we look at Railroad Run, for example. It is used so much. It has such high numbers.
I used it yesterday.
It's incredible to have a resource like that. You know, Spring Run Trail. These are great resources within Saratoga, and it's how do we link all of that to places people want to go in Saratoga every day?
Well, you know, one of the things, and I'm glad you brought that up, you used a test pilot on Henry Street, because in any anything I've read, and you know better than I if these stories are right or whatever, that it takes planning, number one, and it takes a look at how often the roads are used for bikes. I mean, there's got to be a metric to figure out the areas that are going to use bikes the most. Now, I know when people look at bike lanes and they say, geez, I've been looking here for 15 minutes and nobody's used it. Isn't a metric to say that street doesn't need a bike lane?
No, well, it's, yeah, there's always that kind of chicken and egg, right?
Right.
I think you need to build the infrastructure so people feel safe. You know, a project that I worked on outside of Saratoga, you know, in Long Island, very car dominated location, people never thought that somebody would want to ride their bike on a path along, you know, kind of a Long Island highway, mm-hmm. right? You're crazy. Why would they ever want to use this, you know? And you wouldn't believe, once you put that infrastructure in or you put a shared use path or a trail system, then the parents are out there teaching their kids how to ride their bikes, mm-hmm. and they're building confidence. You want to build confidence in kids from a young age to ride their bikes and feel comfortable. And it's you need that infrastructure in place to actually see the numbers increase. So I always advocate for data collection, mm-hmm. right? So we did a lot of data collection with Henry Street. And so I'm really excited to see kind of where that goes within the final plans to see, you know, how many people are crossing Lake Ave, you know, at Henry Street. How many people rode down Henry Street when we did the pilot? And ultimately, data can help us be better designers.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I meant, Charlie, when I live over on the west side, and if I want to ride a bike to get downtown, let's say, I have to go, you know, somewhere near Franklin or, you know, one of the side streets that may not be as wide. And I always thought that if you had one side of the street parking, I'm going to use Franklin Street for an example because I don't know. I just find that the most horrific street. You had one side of the street and you designated the other side and put a bike lane in it, you'd still have room for two cars to get by and that bike lane. Mm-hmm. Where if you have two sides parking, you just can't do it, you know. So I think things like that need to be looked at and say, look at, I mean, we're going to have to do this so that we can accommodate a safer mode of transportation and bicycling. I mean, bicycling is not just going out for exercise and feel good, which I know that's what a lot of people do, including you two, but it's a mode of transportation, and it's mm-hmm. getting more and more that way. So we have to, as you said, Aaron, come up with ways to gauge the safest ways to do that, to make it a mode of transportation safely. One of the things we talked about was people crossing the, you know, people have the right of way in a crosswalk, right? Mm-hmm. But if they walk 25 feet from the crosswalk and cross the street, they're breaking the law because they're jaywalking. Yeah. Or if they would just realize that walking 25 more feet down, they have the right of way. And I think that's, we can incorporate now safety rules, and I'd like you to talk about that a little bit. Safety rules with cars, because they have some rules that they have to allow for bicycles, and also bicyclists have rules that they have to accommodate vehicles. And I think we were talking about educating, and I think that's really a huge part to take away a lot of this road rage that both modes have, and to let them know what is expected of them when they're on a street or a highway. So what are some of the things, and you know more than I've got a couple here, but I mean, it's you know, how bicyclists take lefts. I mean, they should always signal, so that, as cars should. I mean, I hate being in back of a car or coming out of a street and having a car turn the corner and not have their signal on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, cars are known for doing that too. And if I forget and I have my wife in the car, holy mackerel, does she lay into me. How are you supposed to let that car in the back? You know where you're going. Also, that should translate, or it does translate, into bicyclists. I mean, they have their own set of signals, correct?
Yep. If you hold your left hand up like this, that means you're making a right. And if you hold it outstretched,
okay,
you're making a left.
Okay.
And I use that all the time. Why not?
You know? Yeah. That's one of the safety issues, I think. Mm-hmm. You're doing an issue that, or you're making a motion that will let traffic behind you know what you're going to do.
Well,
so that they're not anticipate what's this bike. It's like a motorcycle. What are they going to do? Pull out in front of me? Are they going to take a right? Or if they don't signal, you know. And
I have a friend named Ian Klepetar who's literally ridden all over the country more than anybody I've ever met in my life. And I asked him that question. I said, "What is the safest thing you can do? The number one safest thing you can do as a bicyclist?" And he said, let the drivers know which direction you're going.
Sure. Oh, that's...
Make eye contact.
Yeah.
Try the best you can, yep. You know, with the driver.
Well, that's the same way with cars. I mean, the safest way not to have a car accident when you come to a traffic light or turn on red or whatever is signal, so that the car in back of you knows what you're going to do.
Right.
So they don't come up on your right side when you're going to make a right. And, I mean, which they shouldn't be doing anyway, is coming up on a vehicle coming up on your right side to pass you. But signaling is the most important thing for both modes, you know. And hey, listen, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And if you want to give a call, do so 518-580-5783, 518-580-5783. If you have a question for Aaron or Charlie, we'd be glad to take a call. And, you know, you talked about the trail system that we have. You know, our supervisor, Matt Veach, was really instrumental in getting a lot of that work done and awareness. I think now you can go from Clifton Park all the way. Isn't there a bike trail from Clifton Park all the way up through Saratoga? And
the Zim Smith Trail?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing, and they're starting to link in together now. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I think they're off-road, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's also another point I want to bring up is that, you know, you have to walk before you can run. And
sure.
This is a long-term thing, and linking, you know, bicycle trails to bicycle paths to bicycle lanes is what it's all about, and I just want to ask the public to please, you know, have patience and try to have an open mind, because this will really alleviate a lot of things that, you know, we hate about the city, which is congestion and parking and irate drivers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's have patience here and let's do something good for the community as a whole.
Right. I mean, I don't think any sensible bicyclist wants to irritate car drivers. I think, as you said, Charlie, respect each other. Mm-hmm. And the way that I think you respect each other is by education. And we talked a little bit about that before the show with Aaron and Charlie. How do you educate people that have been driving for 30 years or maybe a little bit less? They get set in their routines. I mean, you're not going to tell me I've been driving like this all my life. Well, come on now. You know what? We have to adapt. Things aren't the way they were back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, there's more cars on the road. We're trying to implement alternate use transportation to stop the congestion and make it easier. And I think a side benefit of bicycling is health. It creates more healthy individuals. And I think once you start riding bikes and you start getting a little bit healthier, you feel better and you say to yourself, I'm going to do more of this. And you start walking. Park your bike and you can walk up and down Broadway and you don't have to look for that parking space.
And also, studies have shown that when people get out of their cars and use other modes of transportation, they spend more money at stores.
Mm-hmm.
So this really helps the economy, the local economy, a lot. And this is a proven, study.
So. Well, sure. My brother Mike moved to Boston 30-some years ago. He works for the state. And the first thing he did when he moved there was he sold his car. He said, Rick, you can use other modes of transportation to get around Boston. And he said, you don't have to worry about finding a parking spot and parking your car or pay for parking. And he said, you know, why bother? And Boston is the number one city in the U.S. for car theft, but that's another story. And one of the things we talked about, I honestly feel that when someone goes to get their learner's permit to drive, they have to take a 5-hour course, and I think it should be a 6-hour course. I think there should be an hour devoted to bicycle rules and car interacting with bicyclists, and I really feel that that is a way to educate our younger people so that when they are driving for 10 years or 15, the one bad habit that they won't have is not having respect for a bicyclist. They'll have that because that's what they were taught. it's hard to say to some 50, 60-year-old, well, this is what you have to do now. I mean, you have to respect the bicycles because this is the way it is. And they're going to say, no, I mean, I've been on the road for 50 years. You know, it's not me. I think the education has to start with the younger people.
Yeah, we're finding that actually nationwide that young people are not getting their driver's licenses as soon as they once did. You know, mm-hmm. I was super excited at 15, you know, to like, or 16 to get my driver's permit. And, you know, now people are biking more. Kids are, you know, trying to, you know, walk, bike, and take the bus more often. And I think education, that's one thing with the Complete Streets Board that we really are trying to kind of get out into the community, table, talk to people, and we did a lot of you know, tried to get the word out about the Henry Street pilot so that people really knew what was going on, that, you know, that's a project specific, but in general, education on bicycling, there's a lot of great events here in Saratoga, bike mm-hmm. rodeos, the elementary schools are really great on that, and just wherever that's going on, we're trying to bring the Complete Streets Board from City Hall, right, from a bureaucratic place, out, you know, into the community so we can talk about these education elements.
Have you ever held, and you may have, Charlie, I don't mean to, you know, insinuate that you haven't done things, but have you ever had like a bicycle auto safety course, like at the library in one of the smaller rooms? Would you get people that would be interested in something like that?
I've never done that, but it's a great idea. It may have happened already, but we'll consider that because we want to reach out to the community. There's
sure.
no doubt about it.
The only thing I would suggest if you do something like that is have cookies and punch. Because people will go to meetings where there's cookies and punch over just coming to a meeting. Believe me, I've done this. We've done this a lot with our meetings. You have cookie and punch there that they know they can get. They'll be there.
I know.
But you got to tell them, don't bring any baggies. No, I mean, I would certainly like to go to something like that because I would want to know the prescribed rules and regulations of interaction between both bicycles and cars. I mean, this is not just one thing that cars are the cause of all the problems. And I think you could learn that at a meeting. And I would be very interested in something mm-hmm. like that. And you don't have to have the big room. You could start out at the small room with 20, well, you know the rooms at the library and how many they hold, but I think it would be great, a great thing to do.
Well, we'll probably do that when spring comes, just to raise awareness, mm-hmm. and we'd love to come back on here and announce it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, well, anytime you can use this forum for
thank you.
Information. Well, that's what, you know, I mean, not to get into what the show's about, but it's a community show, and building community awareness, whether it's new businesses or politics or whatever, is I like to use the show for that, community awareness. So, and I hope our listeners enjoy it.
Yeah, I hope the community calls in.
Yeah, well, it's very hard to get call-ins on the show. We did, I don't know if it's people are afraid that somebody's going to recognize their voice. But when we had a show on the Malta radio station for 7 years, and it was geared towards seniors. And oh my gosh, we got more calls on Saturdays. I think they just like to talk because we would always talk. One lady used to call about the Yankee games all the time. And it didn't matter who the guest was, you know. But yeah, here we go. But anyway, we'll take this phone call. Good morning, caller, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Hi, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving as well. My name is Erin. I'm a Saratoga Springs resident, and I just wanted to ask Erin and Charlie what they think the next project should be for Complete Streets. Is there a particular plan in mind or that they think should be in mind for that?
Okay, do you want to take the answer off air, or do you want to stay on?
I'll hang up, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we have another caller, so keep that.
Sure.
Keep that there, okay? Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are
Good
you?
Morning.
How are you?
I'm very fine.
Okay. You have a question for our two guests?
Oh, that's
well,
my
do you know
call.
Who I am?
Do I know who you are? Do you know who
the
you
most important
that's,
person.
That's my mom. All
oh,
right.
Oh, Mrs. Samuels.
Hi, Mom.
You bet.
Hi, Mom. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. How about your Thanksgiving?
Oh, great, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a good time with the family.
So how is my little Bambino Charlie doing?
Well, we had to put your little Bambino in the other room because he's on the microphone in the other room because he started a fight with Aaron here, so we had to move him out.
Oh, that happens all the time. Just separate them quickly. Yeah.
Yes, we will. We will. Charlie, want to say hi to Mom?
Hi, Mom.
I love those two words.
Okay.
You want to go bicycling today?
80 years.
Yeah, 80 years.
Yep.
Wow. Because
yep.
Charlie just asked if you want to go bicycling today.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'll get my bike.
Okay.
Okay. Lovely talking to everyone. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Charlie. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's great. I used to have an uncle that called every week from Florida. And they were originally from Syracuse and moved to Florida. And I always thought it was great. But that first question is, what is the next step for Complete Streets?
Well, we're working on quite a few initiatives. Also, you know, we review initiatives that are going on from the private sector, from different development projects and how we can incorporate Complete Streets techniques. But I think, you know, one thing we'd really like to work on over the next year, obviously the Greenbelt Trail as it moves through downtown, through Excelsior, along High Rock Park, how to find the best route through the downtown core, connected with Henry Street, and then ultimately connect the Greenbelt Trail over to Spring Run Trail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big initiative. We also have our Missing Links project, which is really exciting. This is a community advocated project to build sidewalks, right? We're a city with many walkable sidewalks, but there were some gaps, you know, throughout the downtown area and, you know, kind of surrounding the downtown. And so this is a federally or state funded project through the state. And we were awarded, you know, millions of dollars to actually build out these missing links. And so we're really excited about that project. A lot of great community advocacy went around that. But also looking at something like a speed limit, you know. The speed limits in the city, you know, we need to, you can put as many traffic, bike lanes, you know, new striping on roads, but ultimately we need to reduce the velocity of cars, right? People have such a greater chance of survival when cars are traveling less than 25 miles an hour, and it's been proven throughout many cities. So this is something personally I'd like to advocate for. It just across the board improves safety when cars are traveling slower.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I think I think you can get away with that in the city. Mm-hmm. I don't know if in the outskirts of the city, people tend to be Mario Andretti's, you know. One of the things we were talking about, Daniels Road, which I think mm-hmm. is really, I say funny, but it's not. You know, you'll go, turn on to Daniels, and you'll see a speed sign that says 35 miles an hour. About 20 feet away, it'll say 45 miles an hour as you're going around a curve. I mean, and then you go through that curve and it drops back down to 35 miles an hour. And I'm saying to myself, who the heck put these signs up?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's got to be confusing, too, for bicyclists only because they're gauging the speed zone, too, to know how fast the cars could be coming up behind them. And, I mean, you got things going back and forth like that. That must be confusing for them, too.
Yeah, and unfortunately, somebody was killed on Daniels Road on a bicycle. That also happened on Lake Avenue, within both of these within the last 10 years, I believe.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a big component of Complete Streets is safety.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think that's with anything. Safety and awareness are the two major components of anything. Mm-hmm. We talked about skateboarding earlier, and I think safety and awareness is what makes things better.
Right. A lot of people weren't aware there was a skateboard park in Eastside Rec.
That's right. Yeah, really. Yeah. And who was buried in that when they covered it? No, only kidding, only kidding.
I found a baseball at the bottom. That's all I got.
Hey, right now, I'm going to get some public service announcements in so we can be legal here. So we'll be right back, and stay with us. You're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM, Skidmore Radio. And the phone number here in the studio is 518-580-5783. So hang in there.
You might not know everyone in your community, but if you did, you'd see that people in recovery from mental and substance use disorders are all around. Reach out for support and begin your recovery journey. Join the Voices for Recovery. Strengthen families and communities.
Farmer and landowner John Prue.
We purchased the land about 3 years ago, and there was an old farmstead on there with trees. We were going to clear the land so we could farm through it. We thought we knew where the pipe was, so we didn't call to get it located. The work on our property led to the damage of a light crude pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Hey, we're back, and we're here with Aaron and Charlie, and we're talking about complete streets and the bicycle portion of it, also the safety portion of it. Aaron, you know, I was on the senior center board before mm-hmm. I was a senior. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems kind of funny, but one of the things about Saratoga Springs and Saratoga County is that it's becoming one of the largest populations of seniors mm-hmm. In the state. And we can see that a bit in Saratoga with a lot of retirees moving into the city, purchasing condos mm-hmm. or homes, but only being summer residents. Mm-hmm. And in that vein, when I look, they have the bicycles all over the city that you can, I don't know if you rent them or what you do.
The bike share.
Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of older people mm-hmm. riding those bikes on the bike paths or, you know, on the streets or whatever. So there are ways to make bicycling fun, correct?
Definitely, yeah.
And what are some of the things that you can see? We were talking a little bit off air about some of the fun things that you can do in a city.
Well, I think complete streets, you know, as much as it's about safety, that's fundamental to our initiative. But also, how can we activate the public realm and how can we make it exciting through cultural events, festivals, and, you know, art, incorporating art into, it can be temporary, it can be, you know, right on the street, on the asphalt. You know, if we're building out, you know, curbs and we're actually going into the street to test things out, why not use that as an opportunity for an artist to, you know, create a great mural and, you know, build more excitement within mm-hmm. the downtown. With bicycling, you can have bicycle rides for seniors, you know, and actually get the community together. That is always really successful, and people can meet each other. And, you know, ultimately with the bike share program, it's really people love it.
Sure.
Right? We're seeing, you know, people are biking to the track. They're biking everywhere.
Right.
And they're coming as a tourist. Maybe they took Amtrak up here. You know, they're staying downtown, and they're using the bikes that are now available at hotels. Many of the hotels are providing bikes. So from the Complete Streets perspective, we just want to make sure they're safe out there, right? And they feel comfortable. And if they're having a great time, they're coming back again.
Sure, right? And they're telling other people about it. Have a chicken barbecue. If someone can have a place where they can eat in, if somebody rides their bike down, they get a free dessert and beverage. And that way you'll get them.
That works,
Nobody can pass up dessert and beverage, let me tell you.
Well, the other thing about our city is it's conducive to bike riding and other forms of transportation because it's relatively flat. So we have a walking community, we have a biking community, we have a skateboarding community. So, you know, wheelchair community. Let's enhance that aspect of it, and it'll give the town more character and more livelihood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have to adapt because obviously this is the future. Mm-hmm. We have to try and make cities less congested. And I think bicycling is, as we mentioned before, is a way to do that, to get exercise, to share family outings without having to say, well, I don't want to go downtown. I'm going to have to look around for half hour for a parking spot. And because we know the more parking lots, the more parking garages they build, the more congestion you get because it always seems like there's never enough. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said they're building too many parking garages. That can cause more congestion in an area rather than alleviate the problem, because that's not the way to alleviate a problem. So I think we need alternatives. And, you know, I give you guys a lot of credit for taking the leads in this area. And as Aaron said, safety is part of it. Any other things that you want to mention? We have 2 minutes. Do you want to close with anything? Anything coming up that you want to let us know about, or something in the spring that you want to put together, like maybe one of these educational nights, and we'll talk about it.
Well, we'd really like to raise awareness when the weather gets warm, because then we can encourage people to, you know, ride bikes and. So we'd love to come on the show again and talk about it.
But would you say, as the parting shot before I get John on, that you shouldn't put studded tires on bicycles and ride them in the wintertime? That probably wouldn't be a safe thing.
If people want to ride their bikes in the winter, go for it. Yeah. You know, now we have fat tire bikes and stuff like that. But I'll encourage people. We have Complete Street meetings once a month. They are public meetings.
Yep.
Please come to City Hall, check this, you know, the City of Saratoga Springs website, and, you know, stop by. If you know an intersection that you feel unsafe crossing, or you think there should be more, you know, bike infrastructure in a certain area, take photos, send them to the city or to the board, and, you know, so that we can start to learn from the community. And so please, you know, like, participate in the
Is there a contact board. Information if somebody wanted to call the board?
All you have to do is Google Complete Streets Board Saratoga Springs.
Okay.
And there's information on the City Hall website.
All right,
and
so that's
you can get to us.
Complete Streets Saratoga Springs. That's
Saratoga
what I
Springs.
Did, and
Complete
it brought
Streets
up
board.
A bunch of,
yeah.
of yep. things. Because I think you would want to be open to opinions from different people and thoughts and ideas, because that'll help you in making things easier or going and branching off, because they may give you an idea that, you know, would be a great idea. So I'd encourage people that live in the city to get involved in Complete Streets and go to the board meetings or go to the meetings and voice your opinion. They want opinions. They want to hear input from citizens. And as we said in the beginning of the show, citizens are the ones that make things like this possible, and they want your help. So I want to thank you two for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was great. I learned a lot here, and I hope our listeners did too. I know Charlie's mom did.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't know that we'd put him outside if he misbehaved, but you don't have to worry now. So, Aaron, Charlie, thanks a lot. And
thank
John,
you. You're welcome.
That's okay. John, you're coming right on.